Farron.
Dave.
How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Well, I've been okay.
Have you seen outside recently? It feels like summer.
I feel like we did weather recently in a podcast intro.
Yeah, we live in Auckland, dude.
Yeah, do we not have other things to talk about?
Yes, we do, actually.
Well, go on then.
We met up with Bruce from Urbanaut, based out in Kingsland, right on the border there of Morningside.
Right, yes. I'm familiar with the geography.
Yeah. What a great chat we had. We learned about the amazing range of beers, and some surprising stylistic facts came out in that podcast.
Well, that sounds interesting and exactly the sort of thing that I would like to listen to right now.
Well, let's just listen.
Go on then.
So here we are. We are talking this evening with Bruce from Urbanaut. Hello.
G'day. Thanks for having me.
Oh, well, good, man. Where are we? And tell us about why you've chosen this place.
So we're currently sitting in Flight 605, a bar in Kingsland. It's about three doors down from the brewery. It's our local. It's a proper neighbourhood bar.
Nice.
I've got great beers. The best thing about this place is the vibe. It feels like a proper hub of the community. They've got events and they pour our beer and have been massive supporters of us.
Yeah, I like that the moment we started recording, the lights dimmed,
yeah.
Like the music soloed out. It feels like a scene out of some sort of like cheesy music video. It's awesome.
It is. It is.
I mean, if you had to have a local bar, like you'd want it to be somewhere like this, right? Like a... They probably don't come much better. I don't know, Darren, you've been here before, presumably, but...
Yeah, like, I was here, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago, a year, 2 years ago, and it's just gotten better. I mean, I was just saying before, when I came in last time, they had a keezer with two taps, and the rest was bottles and beers. Now they're up to six taps, something like that?
Yeah, and ever-expanding.
Yeah,
lots of cans and bottles in the fridge. They hold craft beer events. The best thing is when you come here, you feel like you're at a mate's house.
Yeah.
And you can just talk to anybody in the bar. It's something that New Zealand doesn't have a lot of, and these guys are nailing it. And a lot of it is due to the personality of the owners. They have made it feel like their own place. They've put their stamp on it, and then you feel welcome and comfortable here.
Right. It must be convenient as a bar owner having a brewery three doors up. Probably worth talking about your place as well, because we have just been there. Tell us a bit about that. It's a brewery, obviously. What else? Tell the story.
We opened on the 20th of May this year.
Yeah.
So it's been about 4.5 months.
Right.
We took over a building that used to be a costume store in Auckland, which was a bit of a... A lot of people knew about this place.
It's an institution.
I've hired a costume from there. Darren, you must have.
Heaps.
Yeah. Was there a bit of an outroar? Like, shit, where am I going to get my costumes from?
Well, no, they moved to a bigger premise out in Avondale.
Did they?
So the building was sitting there. We were looking for a space. We wanted to be around Kingsland, Mount Eden area, fairly central, but on the outskirts of city centre.
Yeah.
As soon as we saw it, we thought, great, but it's on a first floor. How are we going to put a brewery on a first floor with all the weight? Low ceilings, drainage. And then we realised actually it's the most beautiful building and such a great spot. We made it happen.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. How do you put a brewery on? I've often wondered that. Like, I assumed it needed to be on the ground.
Yep, it meant a lot of reinforcing of the floor.
Right.
Thankfully, we've got access at Western Springs Roadside, which is ground level, but was still a challenge to get all the tanks in and get it all set up.
Yeah.
But, now that seems like a distant history, that pain that we went through, and now we've got this amazing setup. 2,500-litre brew house, 5,000-litre tanks, and cellar door, brewery tours, and yeah.
So talk to us about the cellar door. So if someone was to come down... Like, you know, during business hours or maybe even just a little bit after, they could come and pop in and have a look?
We welcome people any time of the day. So people just rolling off the street for a look.
Yeah.
Our actual cellar doors open at 1 o'clock to 8 o'clock every day.
Right, 7 days a week?
Yep. On Sunday we close at 6.
Right, right.
But otherwise we're just part of the community. Nice. Encourage people to come in, see what we're brewing, try the newest beer, buy some takeaways if they want. And we've been well received in the community, which has been so awesome.
Awesome. And May till now, that's been like the winter months. So what do they call them? What's the Game of Thrones reference? The something months?
Winter is coming.
Winter is coming. There's a Game of Thrones. That's Game of Thrones, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, all right. But you've been through that and it's been good. So presumably it's only going to get better, right? Like,
yeah, it's exceeded our expectations. We've had a lot of uptake from Auckland bars and also around the country as well. And then we've already hit capacity with the tanks that we installed. We've taken up some contract work.
Oh, wow.
About a month ago, we announced that we're going to be brewing all Yeasty Boys beers.
Awesome.
Ongoing. Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, we're going to get busy as...
Oh, I'm sure, man. And we'd like to get back to that. But before we do, let's learn a little bit more about Urbanaut, about you, the other owners. So we'll start with you. So you are the head brewer, is that right?
Correct, yeah.
So where did your brewing story begin? What's the deal?
Well, what was your first craft beer? Can you start there, do you think? Do you remember what it was that went click, oh, I get this now? Like, what did you try?
Very, very clear moment, and it seems to be a similar story with lots of brewers worldwide. I used to spend a lot of time snowboarding.
Yeah.
And would do seasons in California.
Yeah.
While I was at university, me and some friends would go over and do winter seasons there. Went to a place called Tahoe, Northern California.
Yeah.
There's a local bar called Tahoe Taps.
Right.
We'd go there and they just had one beer, it had a green badge. We didn't really know what we were drinking, but we're like, shit, that's good beer. Yep. After drinking Tui in Palmerston North, it was full of flavour. It was great. And was Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
That was in 99. And so kind of developed a taste for it. Seasons afterwards, we'd go back and look forward to drinking Sierra Nevada without really realising that there was a thing called craft beer. We just thought this was a good beer brewed locally.
Yeah.
And then it just snowballed from there, really. I moved to Vancouver and spent a year living there as the craft beer scene was emerging. And then in 2004, moved to London.
Right.
And by that stage, I was just hooked on hops and interesting beer styles and exploration of the beer world. Yep. And, of course, with the UK, Cask Ale was, at the time, there was no craft beer, but Cask Ale was big. And
yeah,
so
sure.
I fully immersed myself into Cask Ale and discovered Fuller's, who at the time in London were making... There was only three breweries in London at the time, which is madness.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I wonder what the number is now.
that would have had hundreds and hundreds back in the good days of beers. I mean, you know, porter, that's where it came from, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And all the beer that was shipped out to the colonies, the pale ales, the IPAs,
yeah,
all out of London.
Mad.
And so, yeah, I've got an engineering degree, so I'd worked in different fields, and at one point I was going to change the world of snowboarding and start making my own snowboards, and then realise, oh no, that's actually, I might sell 20 snowboards a year in New Zealand, that's not going to be it.
Yeah. What about London? There's a big snowboard market in London, presumably.
There would be, yeah.
Yeah.
But I wanted to come back to New Zealand and start something.
Right, right, right.
So then I got into horse racing for a while as a bit of a diversion, and all this time I was home brewing.
As a jockey or? No?
No. I've got a slim build, but I'm not that short, unfortunately.
Right, right, right.
But no, it was a technology company and we were tracking horses as they raced. It was a big thing at the time, but my heart wasn't in it. And I was doing a lot of home brewing and connecting with other home brewers. And then I thought, actually, I've got a degree in engineering about making stuff and production, and I want to get into beer.
Yeah.
So I started visiting breweries and going to every beer event, which at that point was just Cask Ale and Camera events.
Yeah.
And then I went to one that talked about craft beer in London. So I went along by myself and cruising around, and my mates, they didn't really get what I was into. It's this craft beer thing. They were drinking Foster's and
right.
Quite happy. And so I went along all the stands, and I went to one stand that was called Thornbridge. Started talking to the guy, had a Kiwi accent, and it was Kelly Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
This would have been 2007. said I'm looking to get into brewing. I've got a job interview at Fuller's next week, and he said if you can get in there, you'll learn so much.
Yeah.
And went for the interview, went through three really brutal interviews, and then landed the job, and haven't looked back since.
And that was just on the back of your homebrew experience?
Mostly on my engineering degree at that time, but with a passion for beer.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, and so...
So talk to us, like, because homebrewing in New Zealand is like backyard sort of expanses, multi-vessels. Like, is it the same in London, or is it... Because I can imagine I lived in London for a bit and, you know, we didn't have a backyard. So I assume it's sort of more contained, sort of in your kitchen rather than on your deck. Or like, talk to us about what does homebrewing look like for you back in that day?
I had the tiniest kitchen. Right. I'd have to wait until the flatmates had finished cooking dinner and be like, all right, is everything sorted? 8 or 9 o'clock. I'd start, finish 2 or 3 in the morning with a bathtub full of cold water and trying to cool wort, and basically just trying to make hoppy beers and different styles, Baltic porters and dabbling in Belgian styles.
So quite different, I think. It's a situation or circumstance dictated, sort of like, you know, not your traditional homebrew.
There's no sheds.
Right.
And backyards in London, you don't really spend too much time in, and weather's always shit, so so it was pretty much based around the kitchen.
Right. That's interesting, isn't it? I think, like, because homebrewing has connotations here that clearly aren't the same in London. So back to your story, you 3 grueling interviews, and then you got the good news.
Yep.
You got the job.
Yep. Super excited. My role was working on projects within the packaging line to start with.
Cool.
Because I have pretty big facilities there.
Yeah.
And then went into the brewing side and spent time with John Keeling and Derek Prentice and loved it. After about 3.5 years, I realised that Fuller's have been around for a long time and they're going to be around for a long time. And I started to get a bit bored because there was not that much change happening. They don't need to change things.
Yeah, fair enough.
Describe to us, like, cause when you say that, they're quite traditional in their brewing style, aren't they? Like, not what you would ordinarily see in a craft beer pub. Like, is that's true?
Very so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Recipes don't change that much. They have got better in recent years and experimenting.
Right.
But why change something that is so good?
I mean, what would they brew on an average week? Style-wise, I guess.
Style-wise, so it's pretty much 80% beer for cask.
Okay.
So London Pride is their flagship beer.
Yeah.
Followed by ESB.
Right.
Mostly ales. They started dabbling in lagering. Probably 2010.
Okay, wow.
They did a bit in the 70s, but then left that to the big lager brewers of Europe.
Yep.
But they've nailed cask conditioning.
Okay.
They've got so many great pubs in London that within a 20-mile radius that will burn through a 9-gallon cask in one evening.
Yeah.
And they look after their beer. And something I miss, actually, is cask ale.
Good cask. It must give you like a really good, interesting pedigree, I think, for a New Zealand brewer, because there can't be many people, Kelly Ryan probably, exempt from that list, who could claim to have a good history in making sort of those traditional English styles. That isn't what Ubernaut does, though. Is there any sort of any temptation to try that as well? Or
plans are afoot.
Right, okay.
I brought back quite a bit of cask ale gear.
Sweet.
I brought 2 full containers of equipment that I slowly accrued off eBay before I left. So we've got handpulls and stainless steel casks. So currently we're planning with Little Beer Quarter in Wellington, an outdoor cask ale festival in February.
Holy shit, dude. Road trip.
Here we come.
I'm in.
It's going to be good times. So far we've got... 8 Wide on board, Garage Project, Eagle Brewing out of Christchurch, North End on Kapiti Coast.
Ooh.
And so, we're going to do a proper weekend-long cask ale festival. So,
That sounds great, man.
Watch the space.
I love that sort of bread. Anyway, sorry, I interrupted again. So rude of me. You were saying 3 years at Fuller's and...
Yeah, then I actually got headhunted for a role at Meantime, which I'd been kind of following for a couple of years at the time, there was no real keg-conditioned craft beer. In the UK, it was all camera. People were doing hoppy things with beers in cask, but not in keg.
Okay.
And so I've been watching Meantime for a while. They were still pretty small, and they had a role for production manager.
Yeah.
And I got encouraged to apply for it and got the job.
Nice.
And it was, it's funny looking back now, at that time, mean time we're doing about 2 million litres a year. So if you picture Tuatara, same sort of size of company in terms of volume.
Right, yeah. Wow.
Of which 40% of that volume was for BrewDog.
Huh.
And so this is when BrewDog were babies. BrewDog had a tiny brewery. I think they were brewing about 1,000 litres a batch.
Right.
They had big plans to grow. So we brewed 75% of BrewDog's beer. So it would have been maybe 1 million litres a year.
Jeez.
And that was 2010, I think.
Right.
And then we, you see where BrewDog is now, it just shows that, that story.
Yeah, I mean, because that's...
Is this the BrewDog that we see around town?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, okay. The BrewDog is in the Scots.
Not Black Dog.
Oh, okay, sorry, my bad. Or
Black Dog, is that right?
Yeah, Black Dog.
The DB one.
Yeah, the Kiwi one.
Right, yeah, okay.
But that's where that interesting sort of correlation in your story, I suppose. Correlation may not be the right word, but I'm going to go with it. Because obviously Yeasty Boys were contract brewing there, and now Yeasty Boys are contract brewing here with you guys.
So yeah.
Sort of like, you know, the stories all line up, I suppose. All roads in the universe lead to the same place, Kingsland. Perhaps. What's that?
Kingsland.
Kingsland, yes.
It does.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's landed. Stayed with Meantime for 5 years.
Right.
Learned a lot. We did a lot of collaborations with some amazing brewers from around Europe. Some sort of heroes I got to meet were Jean-Marie Rock, who worked at Duval for 42 years.
Nice.
And then he started brewing some of his own beers through Meantime. Eric Toft from Schronrammer in Germany. And
yeah.
Just meeting some of these guys, I realised the beer styles, learned a lot myself.
Yeah.
I also studied while I was working, which was so painful.
Right.
Ended up doing 2 brewing diplomas and sort of just gearing up for this moment of coming back to New Zealand to set up a brewery in Kingsland. And
so that was the plan?
Yep, from day one, yeah.
And so Simon and Thomas were always the, like, you had that in your mind with those guys, or the other two people from Urbanauts? Like, that was...
Yeah, we're mates from high school.
Right.
I grew up on a farm right next door to Thomas's farm.
Okay.
And we all grew up in Martin.
Right.
And so
I'm from Wanganui, bro.
Oh, Knuckles. Sick.
Yeah.
I'm from South Africa.
Yeah.
Yay.
It's like Wanganui.
Yeah. Probably. It sounds like it. Anyway, so you guys have been kept in touch all this time, and you had in the back of your mind you were going to come back and start a brewery, and you sort of put the feelers out with them, and they were like, yeah, we're in.
Yeah, we'd travel together. We'd
spent
time in the States and Japan and
snowboarding,
and the UK.
Presumably.
Yep, exactly. And so we always thought we were going to start some kind of beer-related business in some form. And I was learning the trade, and those two moved back to Auckland and super excited about Auckland. They were developing houses and properties.
Yeah.
And so they were just sort of making some money, having some fun, getting qualified as builders.
Yeah.
Which has in turn become a real asset for our business.
Yeah, hell yeah.
They know how to build shit.
Yeah.
Reinforced
floors.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
We've done all that ourselves. Like, when people see the brewery, it looks like, you know, it's quite a spectacular place to look at.
Yeah.
And looks expensive, but when you actually break it down, we've done all the fit out ourselves. We've done everything we could ourselves.
Wow. And that's amazing, man.
With testament to those two, though.
Yeah.
Cool. So talk to us about moving back. So, because it felt like, and this probably isn't your perception of it, but it felt like you just popped up overnight. Suddenly there was this amazing new brewery producing all this beer. It was in all these pubs, and it felt like you came out of nowhere almost. But, you know, tell us your perception of that particular story.
I feel like we've been around for about 5 years.
Right, really?
The period that we've experienced, it's been full on.
Yeah.
But... kind of, we had the plan in our heads for about 2 years of how it was going to roll out, and was find the right place, had the equipment supplier in mind, and then it's definitely been challenging, but we've gone into this project to make really good beer and have a lot of fun, and in doing so, we get more and more driven and want to meet more people and want to engage with drinkers and sell. We want to sell beer to our local community. And so with this venue, it's just worked out perfectly.
Yeah.
We're having a lot of fun.
So it doesn't feel like it was an instant thing for you. Like, there's clearly a lot of hard work. Did you keep it quiet for a bit? I mean, I feel like I had my ears to the ground to some extent, and it literally, I don't know about you, Darren, but literally felt like, you know, one day there was not all urban, all, and the next day, I think you sent me a thing on Facebook, look, going, yeah, look, I mean, there's this new brewery.
A friend of mine just lives on School Road, and I used to live around the corner, and one day she sent me a text message with a photo of your branding. And I was like, what? I've not heard of this. Surely this is not something that can exist without me knowing. And because she's also like theatre-esque and used to frequent the costume shop. And she was like, yeah, the fucking costume shop's gone and now it's a brewery. Darren, you should check it out. And I did. I kind of like walked to the front of the building and I looked around and it looked dead as disco. Little did I know that it was like business in the front and party at the back. It's a mullet brewery,
a giant
really.
Mullet.
Yeah. So yeah, and then at that point I was like, Dave, there's something happening in Kingsland. This is fucking exciting. And basically, at about that point, the whole marketing engine kind of just tumbled down. You know, the Facebook page came up. A lot of people started talking about it. Then there was the launch. Which was amazing. Can you talk to us about the launch and how it like blew up?
Yes, so we'd basically been fitting out the building for about 6 months and we'd just been so busy with construction and day-to-day problems and issues and getting things up and running and receiving tanks, and we did everything ourselves. Like, we went to the port, and Simon has a truck license, and so we loaded the tanks onto the truck and then we brought them into the brewery, and then I drove the forklift and lifted them up and put them into place, and so we just learned all the different tricks that we need to do to get the brew up and running. So at that point, we weren't really telling people about it because we were just day-to-day just trying to get it ready.
Yeah, yeah.
And so then it was like, shit, we need to do a bit more on branding. We need to sort of talk about that we're going to be opening shortly. And so we started doing a bit of promo, and we had some friends that have a company in Wellington help us with the brand. And then we're like, right, construction's done. Let's tell people about what we're doing.
Can I just pause you for a second there? Was the name always, like, was the name decided upon early in the piece, or was that part of the branding process?
No, that was part of the branding process.
Okay, okay.
It was actually one of the hardest things, is deciding on a name and finding the right name.
Yeah.
And we realised, once we started sort of thinking about, we thought it would be a really exciting process finding the name and thinking about what we wanted to be called. And then we started looking and we realised worldwide in the brewing industry, everything's been done, every name's been used, and we wanted to be a bit more unique. And so we've always wanted to have a brewery in central Auckland, and then we love the sort of urban lifestyle and culture. And so we were looking around that kind of space of city dwellers and being proud of being a brewery in the centre of Auckland, but also exploring other cities, as we've all done when we travelled, the three of us.
Yeah.
And so then we've got a design company in Wellington called Salted Herring, and we'd have
I know their work. They're excellent.
They're great. Yeah. And so we had a session with Pep, and then he was driving home one night and the word popped into his head, and it was a new word, and we loved it straight away. It's
nice. Yeah. I love how the you know, first order of business, get a venue. Second order of business, fill it with brewing equipment. Third order of business exists because of where that venue is. I think that is inspired and pretty fucking great.
We're living it. We're loving this part of Auckland, and we are urbanauts.
The thing I love about you, Brandon, it's clever, right? Because I love to read labels. I don't know about you, Darren, on beers, and I was intrigued by the names of your beers, but everyone's the name of a city, right? I think to your point of exploring cities, the beer, you'll tell it better than I, but I assume that it's telling the story of a city to some extent in the little the little story on the outside. You know, you talk about Williamsburg and Kreuzberg and all these other bergs, presumably many many bergs.
Yeah, Kingslandberg.
but I think it's cool because it is a beer of the world, it seems. And the Urbanaut story is the story of someone that's been out and explored the world and then come back and brought that back to New Zealand. Is what I read into it. Presumably that's what your branding people told you you were doing.
I don't know about you, but I think he fucking nailed it.
Yeah.
I was about to say that myself. You totally nailed it.
Because I get that, right? I get that from your labelling and your words and the artwork and stuff. It's like, yeah. I totally get what you guys are trying to do. And it resonates with me as a person that's been out to
the world, the rest totally.
Of, as is pretty much every Aucklander over the age of 35, I think. We all do that.
As we love to travel and live in these cities. And
you're telling a classic New Zealand tale through the art form of beer.
Oh my god, you totally nailed it.
Totally.
Are you looking for a job?
I am not looking for a job, actually. But thanks for the offer. Launch day. We were in launch day. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so we had a Saturday official launch and we didn't really know how big it was going to be. I was pretty much strung out for the week prior to the launch. We were launching with 5 beers. I wanted them to be all impeccable. It was the first time I'd brewed all 5 of them on such a scale.
Yeah.
And then to filter and keg the beers and get it all ready, as well as fitting out the building, I ended up sleeping at the brewery pretty much for a week. I had my camping bed set up.
And you must have a very accepting wife.
Yeah, my fiance, she's living in Wellington, and so we do have this agreement where I work really hard during the week, and then we spend weekends and we hang out. And at that point, she just knew that I was just not going to be available.
Yeah.
And just worked and worked and worked. We're like, how many people are going to come? What are we expecting here? It was double what we expected in terms of people turning up, excitement about the beers and the brand. Yeah. And for me, ultimately, the beers were well received and they were all clean and there were no faults. And that's, as a trained brewer, that's what you want.
Yeah.
New equipment, recipes to a new scale. For me, using New Zealand grain for the first time.
Yeah.
And it was a massive hit. We tried to put a number on it, but on the Saturday it was just ram full of people, huge lines at the bar, and we were just so chuffed.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I was. I attended that launch, and what I think is really astonishing was that it was a fucking shit day. The weather was horrific. I got out of the car.
All the more reason to drink.
It blew and rained on me, and I was soaked. Made it inside, the sun came out, and then it just did that rinse and repeat every like 20 to 25 minutes, but it stopped no one. The place was slammed. It was amazing, man.
It was. We loved it because for us, we would talk to people at the bar, and a lot of them were within, the Kingsland area.
Yeah.
And they were just excited there's a brewery popping up, and that's what we've wanted to be, is like a brewery for Kingsland, and it's where kind of the future is for breweries that are opening. You want to engage with your community, and we get people coming through the cellar door every day that are curious as to what we do and why we're there. They don't drink beer, and then we get to say, hey, taste us. This is our pale ale. And then taste our IPA. And they're like, oh, okay, yeah, no, I get it. And it's a really unintimidating environment.
Yep.
And we're turning more and more people into drinking good beer from the neighbourhood, and that's exciting.
Doing your bit, I think. That's what that's called. And so you mentioned cellar door, but you can come and there's tasting paddles, is that right? You can come and try the beers there?
Yeah, so we sell tasting trays.
Right.
And so you can get a mix of different beers and then takeaways after that. We're not licensed for a pub. That's a whole other minefield of building regulations.
Yeah.
But it actually suits us. We're a production brewery first and foremost, and we want people to come in, and then we can talk through the range of beers.
Yeah.
We do a special release once a month. We released an India Pale Lager last week.
Oh, I'm drinking that at the moment. I think it's my favourite beer of yours. I think it's pretty good.
It's a keeper.
Yeah.
I'm super stoked. I think that's going to become number 6 in the standard stable of our beers.
Yeah. So speaking of standards, stables, I couldn't say that, hang on. standard stables. No, it's all right. I've got it. Don't worry.
Cool range.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Talk to us about your standard stables of beers. Did I get it?
I think you nailed it.
Staples?
Staples, right. Anyway.
I don't know.
Actually, core range is easier.
Tell us about your core range.
First and foremost, we've got Kingsland Pilsner, what I'm drinking now. It's 4.5%. It's a traditionally brewed Pilsner.
Like New Zealand Pilsner?
It's
it's
New Zealand Pilsner.
Right, right.
But it's using lager yeast and long maturation.
Right.
Motueka hops. We're using that beer as the beer that people who want to experience craft beer but haven't really drank much else apart from green bottle beer is a bit of a crossover.
Yeah.
We want to come in at 4.5%, so it's a beer you can have a couple of and drive, which is pretty massive for Aucklanders.
Yeah.
Following that, I love a good pale ale, and so we've made an English-style pale ale, so it's not the sort of APAs as such.
Nice.
Put in some British hops as well as Kiwi hops.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
4.4% again.
Nice and sessionable again.
Yep.
Yep.
Lawnmower beer.
Yep.
Then we do a lager, and we want to focus quite a lot on producing lagers and pilsners.
Fantastic.
So a lager's 5.5%.
Yep.
Shimokito inspired it out of Tokyo. It's a suburb that's very similar to Kingsland.
Right.
As one of the neighbours told me after we'd named it, he came through and I said, I try our Shimokito lager. And he goes, Shimokito. He's from Tokyo, and he said, it's like the Kingsland of Tokyo. And I was like, nailed it.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we wanted to hear. And that's Kiwi grains, a bit more body than our Pilsner, and then a lot of Nelson Salvin in the late hopping. Following that is our current biggest seller, which is our Gastown Red IPA.
Right.
And that was inspired from when I lived in Vancouver. I drank a fair bit of red ale out there at the time. And then this has got a lot of body, malt delicious, it's got a bit of sweetness to it, and then balanced with the bitterness of the hops, and then we use all American hops for it.
Beautiful.
5.8%, going really well.
Yeah, I've slammed a few of those back.
Nice.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
And then the big boy in the stable is our Williamsburg IPA, 7.2%, and for this one I wanted to get a bit more influence from the UK and from their craft IPAs rather than the American ones.
Right.
So it's really malty. The hops give an earthy finish. It's not kind of really puckering in terms of bitterness.
Yeah.
Which dangerously makes it sessionable at 7.2.
Yeah. interesting that like both that IPA and your pale ale are both English themed. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, definitely.
Because now that you say that, I'm like, get it now.
Totally.
I've tried both of those and gone, something different about this beer. I can't quite put my finger on it, but you're right. There definitely is English tones, right, in those beers. It comes through. Clearly your heritage is coming through in the beers that you're making.
Yeah, it's where I learnt to brew, and I could see that there was something missing in the New Zealand beer market. There's a lot of really good APAs. There's a lot of really good American style IPAs.
Totally.
And so I thought, well, let's do something that's a bit different, and actually the beers that I love to drink myself. So
a point of difference, right? Like, you know, you don't want to just, as you say, another APA. Like, who cares? Is there? Do you need to put English somewhere in the title? Let people know. Like now that you say it, I'm like, I get it. Are you doing enough to let? Because otherwise, it just looks like another IPA.
Yeah.
Williamsburg as well as like that sort of suggest American almost, doesn't it? Unless there's a Williamsburg in London.
Are you about to tell Bruce how to do his branding?
Well, I was telling him before about it. Yeah. I get that, but yeah.
It clearly should be the Shoreditch IPA.
Yeah, I'm just an observation. Now that you say that, that makes perfect sense to me, that English style IPA and pale ales, but until now.
We did go with Williamsburg on that one just because of the kind of link to being a similar suburb to Kingsland.
Right, right.
But ultimately, because Williamsburg's big, proud, brash, New York styles, with a bit of a twist. So it's not your standard American IPA.
Yeah.
We're just loving it. That's been our, on the launch night, that was our biggest seller by far. which was a bit scary.
I've drunk quite a lot of that beer. It is, sorry, I'm going to talk a little bit more, very sessionable, almost scarily so, that you can have three or four of them and not really realise. So, yeah, well done on that one.
Thanks. So from here on, we're going to roll out a new special release every month, and the Indie Pale Lager looks like it's going to join the core range because it's just been fantastic. And coming into summer, it's going to be very drinkable. And it's got a lot of flavour. And
I think there's going to be many, many half-mowed lawns. I'll just grab one of these IPLs. It's a lager. Surely I'll just stop in the middle. Fuck that, I'm not doing this anymore. Just sit down and drink.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Nice.
It almost sounds like I mow my own, my own lawn.
Do you even have a lawn? I've been to your house. You just have that concrete slab out the back.
My children with a pair of scissors.
All right, okay.
Job done.
Yeah. Whilst you're drinking.
Yeah, exactly. I have to supervise.
Yeah, obviously. They've got scissors.
Yeah, exactly. Safety first in case I lose a finger. You can pick it up.
Stop running with the scissors.
Yeah. Daddy's got a drink. He doesn't want to have to go to the hospital. But seasonal, so I think I've had an APA of yours. In fact, I just had it a second ago at the brewery, like that. So that's on the way now, or?
Yes.
Yeah, and so I think I've also had a black IPA, again, just seconds ago at the brewery. But the seasonals is clearly a thing that you're doing, though. Like, you're going to keep sort of coming up with new beers and experimenting and trying different stuff?
Yeah, once a month we're going to do a new beer.
Right,
and
cool.
So we started with the Barry Gotic Black IPA. It's one of my favourite styles, Black IPA.
Oh, me too. I do a good black IPA, don't I, Darren? Yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah. Better than yours, isn't
pond
it?
Water, was it?
Yeah. No, sorry, keep going.
But yeah, good and malty, some good bitterness, and then loads of Centennial hops, which I find goes so well with the dark beer. Then after that, we got invited to the West Coast IPA Challenge at the Malt House after pretty much only operating for 3 weeks. So it was a real honour to be invited there.
Yeah,
oh, that's awesome.
There's
man.
People on the waiting list for years for that thing. You must know someone.
I know Colin and Kelly from just drinking days.
Fair enough.
Yeah, they tasted our beers and said, do you want to put one forward? And
cool.
It was great. We made the final round, so that was a massive, for me,
What was compliment. That beer? I feel like I had that beer as well.
It's El Segundo, West Coast.
That's right, yes. That...
Fuck, I just remembered where my wallet is.
In El Segundo?
I don't get it.
What's the... Have you been to El Segundo?
You're kidding me, right?
No. Anyway, sorry.
From this point forward, it's just
like
you and I,
more than others.
Yeah.
Good song. I looked it up on Wikipedia after that beer came out. I've heard of this somewhere. Yeah, it's ringing bells.
Oh, dear.
Cool. So that's the range. That's the seasonals.
Yep.
Talk to us now about what does the future hold, do you think, for Urbanaut? It must seem like relatively early days still in the Urbanaut story. Like, you're less than a year old and you've got a whole summer ahead of you, and who knows what that might bring. But sort of fast forward 12 months, 24 months. Do you have a 3-year plan? Like, fast forward 3 years.
I fucking hope so. What kind of business are you running if you don't have a business plan?
What does three years or 5 years in the future look like for Urbanaut?
I'm enjoying sitting with a couple of business consultants. This is great.
Yeah.
To be honest, we haven't really thought much further than the next 12 months.
Yeah.
We want to establish ourselves in Kingsland.
Yeah.
In Auckland. And I personally want to make better and better beer.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make beer that people want to drink. I have beer styles that I want to make, but if I just keep brewing Baltic Porters and Belgian Triples, I don't think that we're going to sell any beer.
Yeah.
And so I want to get better at making lagers.
Yeah.
I think that's where a lot of exciting times are going to happen soon for the craft beer drinker.
It's an interesting choice because it's not a traditional craft beer, is it? Like, are you targeting sort of your more mainstream sort of distribution outlets, or do you think that the time for lager has come?
I think the time for lager has come.
Right.
In New Zealand, it hasn't been well received as a craft beer.
Yeah.
And lager's a little bit tainted in that sense.
Yeah. I mean, it's got DB and Lion written all over it, right? Almost.
Yeah. Reineken. But for the last 5 years in London, Camden Town have been focusing on lagers, and they make some amazing lagers. On a lager base, you can showcase the hops a lot more.
Right.
And I'm excited because I actually like drinking lagers too.
Right.
Interesting. And there's a lot of really good IPAs in New Zealand already.
Yeah.
So why
That's
sort
true.
Of do or recreate what other IPA brewers are making, or I want to do something new.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to carve out your point of difference, I suppose, like that, like any business. As my business advisor friend here would tell you. But that's cool. And obviously, the IPL that I'm drinking right here, delicious, love it. So you clearly got a knack for it. And so that's it, you think? You just like develop the beers and see how it goes?
Yeah, I mean, currently I'm living my dream. Brewing beer, people are drinking it, are enjoying it, they tell me they like it. It's exciting.
It does feel like you guys done it proper from the get-go, right?
Yeah,
like you
fully
didn't
man.
Really go, oh, let's go contract brew some beer and like some brewery around the country and just test our toes in the woods. You're like, because well, clearly you've got a background. You're like, fuck that shit, I'm just going to go, like, boots and all, going to go do it, live my dream from day one.
Stick it out to the bitter end.
Yeah. Boosh. Cool. Darren.
Well, Bruce, that has been a ripper of an interview.
Yeah.
It almost made us feel like we knew what the fuck we were doing. but it's no credit to us. It's all to you. So thank you so much for coming on the show and telling us about your amazing brewery and your story. And I'm looking forward to drinking a few more of those beers, mate.
Exactly.
Thank you very much.
The thing that stuck out to me, Bruce, is clearly your pedigree, right? Like you've had years making amazing beer and amazing breweries, and now you're going to bring that all home for lucky old us.
Yeah.
To get those years of experience and delicious beers and those different styles and doing things a bit different, which I really like about what you guys are up to. So thank you for thinking of me. And Darren, obviously, and everyone else that loves good beer. And cheers.
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 Thank you so much for having me. And we're just going to make great beer, and this is my job to retirement. Like, I just want to live in Auckland, make beer, and I love that you guys enjoy it.
Well, that aligns with my job till retirement, which is live drinking
in,
beer.
Live in Auckland,
so that's fucking perfect.
The stars have aligned. One more time. Awesome. Thanks, cheers, Bruce.